540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Staples.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. President Biden says he's headed to Florida this weekend to survey damage from Hurricane Idalia.
The people of Florida and throughout the Southeast, I'm here to make clear that our nation has your back, and we are not going to, we're not going to walk away. We're not going to give up. We're not going to slow down.
Mr. Biden says he has signed a major disaster declaration there and ordered all federal resources to help with response. Former President Trump has pleaded not guilty to trying to influence 2020 election results in Georgia. Trump's plea means he won't have to show up for a hearing in Fulton County next week. His attorneys are also working to separate his case from the state's 18 other defendants. New disclosure reports show Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas has made some changes to his finances after getting criticized for accepting lavish gifts and perks from a GOP mega donor last year. CBS's Jan Crawford has those details.
He makes several amendments to some of his previous filings, notably a real estate transaction with Crow, who bought three properties owned by Thomas and his family members in Savannah, Georgia, including his mother's home. Thomas said he didn't realize he had to report the sale because he didn't make any money on it.
Flight attendants could be closer to hitting the picket line soon after voting yesterday to authorize a strike. CBS's Chris Van Cleve reports this comes ahead of what's expected to be a very busy Labor Day weekend.
That sends a very clear message to the bosses in Dallas that the flight attendants mean business. You know, they've watched the pilots get a lucrative deal worth billions of dollars. The flight attendants argue they're having trouble paying their rent, and it's their turn to get taken care of.
Delta, American, and United pilots all got new contracts without disruptions. X, formerly known as Twitter, plans to start collecting biometric data on its users soon when its new policy plan takes effect next month. So what does that mean?
It's likely that a lot of these features are going to be used for stuff like passwordless login, which is a popular growing trend on the internet, where your phone's fingerprint sensor or facial recognition features are used to log into websites instead of having to memorize or keep a list of passwords.
At CBS News tech contributor Ian Schur, the policy takes effect September 29th. College football kicks off across the country today, but in Lincoln, Nebraska, it's all about volleyball. The women's team broke a women's sports attendance record last night with more than 92,000 fans packing Memorial Stadium to watch its match against Omaha. The previous record was set in Spain last year. This is CBS News.
At Staples, school savings are always in session. From art supplies and essentials to the latest tech, in stock and priced low. School on, save on at your local Staples store.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. The Milwaukee tax hike is official. The Wisconsin Department of Revenue says they've received certified ordinances from both the city of Milwaukee and Milwaukee County, approving new sales taxes. They were approved following the passage of Act 12. It allowed the city of Milwaukee to implement a 2% sales tax and Milwaukee County to enact an additional 0.4% sales tax with the approval of their county board. A hot, steaming pile of garbage sat along the road in Beaver Dam yesterday. A garbage container fire occurred within a semi-trailer on 151, causing firefighters to unload the solid waste onto the Madison Street off-ramp. Once the fire was under control, the Dodge County Highway Department removed the burnt debris from the road and took it to a nearby landfill. With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
I would be remiss if I didn't say that some of what we do in government always is political. It has policy impacts. It has political impacts. But if your raison d'etre and your organizing principle is that my guy wins and your guy loses, the entire country suffers. That is not our call to serve. That is not what we raise our hand and say an oath.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
app.
AM Radio provides always-on news, sports, talk, traffic, and weather reports. It also delivers vital emergency information when your community needs it most. A new bill in Congress would ensure AM Radio stays in your car, because when cell and internet services are down, this free emergency service is critical. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Folks, I tell you this much, the Cripes Cast is just the butter on my cheese.
Cockroaches, not that bad. They call them palmetto bugs in South Carolina. Same thing, you can call them up here.
Really, and palmetto bugs.
Yes. Yeah, and they're a great source of protein. They're going to be that? The lobsters of the future.
They also got salmonella, and they can lay like 40 eggs at once.
Well, they gotta work out a few kinks there, okay? They gotta work out a few kinks.
Cripes Cast every Saturday and Sunday at noon across Civic Media and on the Civic Media app.
Join the conversation with your favorite hosts or shows anytime. Follow Civic Media on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Share your thoughts on our social media channels wherever you are, whenever you want. The Civic Media Network of local radio stations, here for you.
Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you statewide on Civic Media. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits and all points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. You're going right to the front lines of history in the making. And I want to say at the outset, we're going to have an exciting lineup jiggle tomorrow. My good friend Todd Albo, a great host who precedes this show, tomorrow is going to also fill in for my hour from 3 to 4. And then I'm going to fill in from 4 to 6 for Devil's Advocates, for Diamond Crude, who are taking a well-deserved education. So tomorrow, when you tune in, Todd Albo will be on from 3 to 4 in addition to his regular show. In other words, 1 to 4 he'll be on. And then Matt Flynn Direct, well, Devil's Advocate with Matt Flynn as the host, will be on from 4 to 6. Well, let's get right to a lot of developments. You'd think that it'd slow down a little bit before Labor Day weekend. Well, it's not slowing down before Labor Day weekend. Today, the White House had to ask Congress to pass a spending bill to avert a shutdown of the U.S. government on October 1. Now, that's very sad. Think about that. Today is August 31. In 30 days, 1 month, any of the appropriations funding the government disappear, the ones that are needed to keep it going. 30 days. And where's the Congress? They're on vacation. They're back in their home states. They say, well, we need to get in touch with our constituents. That's fine. That's fine. But the government is going to run out of money at 5 p.m. on September 30. What have you guys been doing? Well, I'll tell you what they haven't been doing. And this is entirely attributable to the Republican Party. I'm not saying this in a partisan way. I'm saying this is a plain statement of fact. It takes 12 appropriation bills to keep the government going. Guess how many they've passed already? One. They've passed one. You need 11 more appropriation bills by September 30, 5 p.m., and the Republicans and the Democrats and the whole Congress are gone. They'll be gone until after Labor Day weekend. So then they'll end up having about 3.5 weeks to do it. And they haven't been able to do it for a year. This is something that has been forced on the country whenever the Republicans are out of power in one chamber or get in power and want to beat up on a Democratic president. When Trump was president, and when the Republicans had the House and the Senate, the Democrats cooperated in funding the government. We had significant issues with them, but we didn't hold it up. But in this particular case, because Biden is in the White House, and because the Democrats have a one-seat majority in the Senate, the Freedom Caucus and, frankly, Kevin McCarthy are holding up funding the government and threatening a shutdown. And they've done this before. Ted Cruz organized a shutdown about 12 years ago. It went on for about a month and a half, and it cost us $25 billion. $25 billion in greater interest on the national debt and a lot of other things. So what's the solution? What Joe Biden has suggested is, he said, look, I know that you're fighting about stuff. Pass what's called the continuing resolution, a CR. And you can pass it for as long as you want to. Continuing resolution is the Congress all agrees that will keep the government open, keep the government open at the levels that it's been open up till now, and we'll talk about cuts or inflation extensions and all of that in due course. Well, in the past, they have passed continuing resolutions, the Republicans, only for things like a month, 3 weeks. How do you you wouldn't run any company, even a small company in this country, that way, with no budget, continuing resolutions. Well, in any event, the idea would be, let's do a continuing resolution till after Christmas. Let's do it till January, February. In the meantime, talk about our policy differences. Here's the problem. There's a very, very slim Republican majority in the House. They have something like a five-seat majority. They have about 223 votes. We have about 212, 213 votes, the Democrats. Remember, there are 435 seats in the House, and some seats, someone dies, someone retires, and something is in flux. So, but the exact margin that they have is about five seats. They can't afford to give up more than five votes. But how many people do you think it was that stopped Kevin McCarthy from being Speaker for 15 ballots? It's a lot more than five of them. There's at least a dozen of them or more, and there's about 30 of them who threaten and continue to attack, frankly, anything that Joe Biden does. Here's the problem, and here's the solution. The problem is you have a handful of bomb throwers. You have Matt Gaetz, Marjorie Taylor Greene. You have Lauren Boebert. You have Paul Gosar of Arizona, Andy Biggs. You have Mo Brooks, all of these people. Some of them, believe it or not, have said, we want to shut the government down to teach Biden a lesson, no matter what. They will not vote for any continuing resolution or any budget or any extension of anything. They're nihilists. They're destructive. They're not operated in the best interest of the United States or America. They don't care about America. So how many votes can Kevin McCarthy get to pass a continuing resolution to do the obvious, keep the government open on the same basis it has been while they talk cuts and we talk inflation adjustments? Should be no problem. Well, it is a problem because the Freedom Caucus has come in and they go, we need a couple of things. We will vote for a continuing resolution if A, Joe Biden cooperates in our investigation of him and that we bring impeachment proceedings. B, that the deal that we reached a few months ago on the debt limit extension, remember that, is undone and we fund the government at a far lower level than we agreed to in that deal. Now, you don't have to be a lawyer to say, now, wait a minute. These are two separate things. The government has to stay open. You have to pay our troops. You have to pay Social Security. You have to pay people who work on the Hill, secretaries and so forth. You have to pay U.S. attorneys' offices. You have to pay a lot of things. And they go, well, now we have you where we want you, and we are not going to do that unless you agree, Biden, to cooperate in your own impeachment investigation And unless you agree to kick over the deal that McCarthy made a few months ago. You can't agree to that. You can't agree to blackmail. You can't agree to Putin saying, I will bomb Ukraine unless you give me Kyiv. You can't agree to that. At some point, you have to stand up. And this is certainly a time to stand up. So what's the solution? The solution is called a discharge petition. And it's largely, frankly, I shouldn't say largely, it's in significant part to basically save Kevin McCarthy's worthless hide. And it would be this. You go to Kevin, the House minority goes to Kevin and say, look, how many votes can you come up with? And he goes, well, I can come up with maybe 195 or 200. And you say, Hakeem Jeffries, whoever it is that's designated to say it, we'll come up with Democrats to make up the difference, and we'll have basically a bipartisan coalition setting up a continuing resolution. Well, the problem for Kevin McCarthy is if he does that, Boehner did that. Paul Ryan did that. Boehner did it when Southern, the MAGA types, they weren't MAGA types back then, wouldn't vote for disaster relief for Hurricane Sandy because it would have benefited New York and New Jersey, although they voted for it. And all the Democrats did, too, for Louisiana and Texas disasters. But they squeezed Boehner basically out of the speakership, and they ended up squeezing Paul Ryan out of the speakership. If Kevin McCarthy did that, the caucus could get together and any one of them could call a vote on the speaker and he could lose his speakership. So he's not going to do that. So what is my solution to it? And it's actually very simple. In this thing called a discharge petition, even the minority can force something to be voted on the floor. What most people don't understand is nothing goes to the floor. Nothing can be voted on unless Kevin McCarthy says so, and he's chicken to do it with a continuing resolution because he'd lose the speakership. So what should happen is Hakeem Jeffries and the Democrats would go, we propose a discharge petition, which it would be nice to have Republicans on board, but we don't need them to get them to vote on the floor. In other words, a discharge petition permits the minority without Kevin McCarthy's permission to have it voted on. So it's out on the floor. We have 213 votes. We need five more. A lot of Republicans will be scared to vote on it because Trump will attack them. The Freedom Caucus will attack him. All the crazies will attack him. But here's the arithmetic. Are there five Republicans in the country to get us from 213 to 218 who can say whatever they want? They can say, I'm a conservative. I don't like Biden. I don't care what they say. But they say, we're patriots. Hopefully, they're five veterans. They say, we're patriots. We are going to vote for money to keep the government open. And who are they? You know something? There's nobody from Wisconsin. I'm disgusted with the Republican delegation in this state. There've got to be five in New York and California. They're not going to, you know, they can say, we don't want the Freedom Caucus on us. They ain't getting reelected if they shut the government down. So stand by. This is a very, very serious issue. We talk a lot about Trump and all this. This is where the rubber hits the road. We got to pay attention to this. We're going forward. We're going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. Cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down. Tell him that God's gonna cut you down.
Experience the magic. Joy Engine presents Nightlight, Friday and Saturday, September 8th and 9th.
from 5 until 10:30 p.m. The dazzling live spectacle brings 4D projection mapping technology to Milwaukee's iconic historic Mitchell neighborhood. A multi-story building at 710 West Historic Mitchell Street will serve as the mesmerizing backdrop for the show. Nightlight will feature a fashion show, a variety of local vendors, dance performances, and music. After sundown, the event will set the grounds alight with an amazing motion graphic show. Families with children will have plenty of options to indulge in memory-making activities throughout the festival's run, including a life-size light bright wall and a hands-on multilingual exhibit presented by PNC Bank. The event is family-friendly and free to the public. Don't miss this iconic event, Nightlight, presented by Joy Engine, where art comes to life. Log on joyengine.org. That's joyengine.org.
Hey, this is Lindsay Kindert at 540 WAUK The Shaw. At Civic Media, we love our local communities and want to share your stories. Submit your local event and we'll let our listeners know. Email me, Lindsay Kindert, at info@civicmedia.us. That's info@civicmedia.us.
Uh-oh, did a rock hit your windshield from that semi? Don't worry. Autoglass Now offers fast, reliable, and convenient service. For a limited time only, Autoglass Now is offering 50% off windshield replacement. Call your local Autoglass Now today for full details.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw.
Lows around 51. Tonight, under clear skies, winds out of the southeast, 5 to 10 miles an hour. High temperatures reach up to 81. Tomorrow, sunny skies. Mainly clear skies tomorrow night. Lows dip down to about 61. Temperatures a bit above average Saturday and Sunday, with highs from the upper 80s to the mid-90s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 73 degrees.
Your home of the Earl Ingram Show. Weekday mornings from 8 till 10 on The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Gene of Eau Claire, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Gene?
Hi, Matt. Thank you so much for all of the information. It's very, very frustrating to see this happening in our country and in our state. I mean, these people really are not there to work for the American people. I still swear that we're being attacked from the inside out. These people don't work for America. They're just taking up space and wasting taxpayer money and worrying about their leader, Trump. The thing that really makes me sick, though, is as I watch and record, because I pay attention to what's going on in our country, around our country and the world, and we're in a whole bit of hurt here with all of the climate change-related disasters that are going on in our country as we speak. Now, these lazy son-of-a-guns who shouldn't be there, they should be locked out of the Capitol, never allowed to return, trying to overturn our votes and all the crap they pulled on the United States. Now they don't want to pay the bills or help the people in their Republican states that are suffering right now, that are being flooded out. I mean, it's just sick, Matt. These people are sick, and those people that continue to support these Republicans, not the Republicans I know of, but the new Republican fascist group that don't give one iota about anybody, and those people that they proclaim their religious values. Well, these people aren't religious, and you better go back to church and look in your Bible and see what God really wants. So, anyway, Matt, I'm on a roll today.
That's good.
I just can't believe it. Take care, and thank you. Bye-bye.
Well, thank you. Yeah, and before we go to the next caller, I'm going to back up what you just said. You're not going to believe this. Just now, DeSantis in Florida has turned down about $300 million in federal money they're entitled to for climate change, saying, well, I don't believe in climate change, and so I'm not taking $300 million. You know, the only worst guy was Scott Walker. He turned down $1 billion with a B for Medicaid in this state, and he turned down almost $1 billion for trains. Remember that? And he turned down $50,000 for broadband. These people who say they're conservatives are turning down money that is their rightful money to help their state. And the biggest dumb cuff of all, frankly, was Scott Walker, because when he turned down the $1 billion for Medicaid, he then billed the Wisconsin taxpayers and took their taxes to pay for a big chunk of what the federal government would have already. He did that. He did that. He did that. Go to the line. Steve in Milwaukee, my friend. You're next. What's your mind, Steve?
All right, Jeannie. I like her spunk. And, Matt, I got a question for you. What's this horse manure I hear about Josh Call not even being able to prosecute fake electors because of the Wisconsin law that they have to be in the county that it happened in or something like that? You know anything about that?
No, yeah. And that sounds to me like a rumor. Josh is a smart guy. I know he's not saying that kind of stuff. Fannie Willis is going after 19 people, and some of them have never had anything to do with Georgia, and she's only a DA in Fulton County. Josh Call could prosecute the fake electors. Frankly, so could the DA of Dane County. But I'm sure he's a fine fellow. Never met him, but I've never heard him mention the same name as Fannie Willis. But no, I mean, the thing is, the Attorney General of Michigan is prosecuting the fake electors. Jack Smith is prosecuting the scheme that involved the fake electors, and Fannie Willis is prosecuting state electors. There's no reason in this state. The state electors met in Madison. They met in Madison, and they did it sneakily and in secret. They kept it quiet. They said, don't tell the press. They didn't list it as something that was meeting and all that. And Ron Johnson had the fake electors for Michigan, and now, according to paragraph 101, of the federal indictment, he had him for Wisconsin too, and he tried to get him to Pence. That's a criminal offense. Cheesebro is up there right now. Eastman is up there right now for orchestrating that. Johnson was part of it. Voss was part of it by arranging the meeting. What are we waiting for? Call Josh's office. Say, Josh, prosecute these people. Stephanie of Madison, my friend. Thank you for calling. What's your mind today, Stephanie?
Oh, hey. Here's what's on my mind. Yeah, I am so frustrated because I really, really, really would love to know how in the hell we need a massive education, public education campaign. I feel like I'm talking about a pipe dream, but we've somehow got to get the populace of this country to really understand. I think a lot of people, they're beginning to, and I think there are people who are having buyer's remorse, but they're so, you know, some of the conservatives are so married to their principles, to quote unquote, that they're afraid to let go. But this is so destructive, and if these people are allowed to just do this destruction, I mean, you know, talk about taxpayer money waste. God, it's horrible. Anyway, right. I gotta go.
No. Actually, yeah. I'm gonna respond to you now, and then there are other line. There are other people in the lines. Do not hang up. We have a very short break, and I'm gonna get back to you right after the break. To Stephanie, I'll just say, I've known conservatives in my life. I've never known a conservative who thought about it for a second, who would say, I think that DeSantis should turn down $300 million. Because he doesn't recognize climate change. Is he taking a look at what's happening in his state, for Pete's sake? There's no conservative I know that said Scott Walker should turn down $1 billion for Medicaid, $1 billion for trains, $50,000 for broadband, because it's coming from the federal government, and he thinks that Wisconsin taxpayers should be double billed for it, because they also pay federal taxes. This is sick. This is insane. Shutting down the government is insane. We're going to a break. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. I'll get back to you right after the break. Do not hang up.
Waukesha, home of Les Paul, our awesome farmers market, and The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
CBS News Brief.
President Biden wants billions more in federal funds to help people recover from natural disasters like Hurricane Idalia in Florida.
There's still some deniers out there in terms of whether or not climate change has anything to do with any of this. And we're going to need a whole hell of a lot more money to deal with emergency appropriations, to deal with all you're taking care of.
The president set to survey storm damage in Florida this weekend. Meantime, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis got his expanded disaster declaration approved.
Fishing is very important. We are going to request from the U.S. Secretary of Commerce a federal fisheries disaster to be able to help our fisheries rebuild.
Texas Senator John Cornyn reached out to Mitch McConnell.
Yeah, I talked to Senator McConnell yesterday, and he seems to be doing fine.
The Republican leader froze for a second time in front of reporters yesterday. He said he still plans to see a doctor about it. CBS News Brief. I'm Monica Ricks.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles. There was first a homicide call in Brookfield. The female victim was shot and died at the scene. A short time later, the shooter, a 35-year-old man from Menominee Falls, was found dead at Orchard Lane Elementary School in New Berlin. That was due to a self-inflicted wound. The individuals involved were known to each other, and police were focusing on a house in a neighborhood during their investigation. A former Milwaukee County Sheriff's Office deputy has received a 2-year probation after pleading guilty to making threats against his ex-girlfriend. The plea led to the dismissal of a felony stalking charge and other misdemeanors as part of the agreement for Corey Richardson. Prosecutors say Richardson had threatened to expose explicit photos of his ex-girlfriend and disrupt her custody arrangement for her daughter. With news on WAUK The Shaw, I'm Stuart J. Waddles.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
Hey, I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out. Because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes, good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container, because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ag Council.
If I could be you...
And you could be me?
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way...
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free. Anywhere.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going right to the lines. Do not hang up. I'll get you in order. Bob of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling. Bob, what's in your mind today?
Well, they keep talking about Biden is too old, and they got some ugly polls out and so forth, and it's obviously going according to the right-wing propaganda, but anybody with any common sense can see who the healthier person is, you know. and it's not 2:15. I think the president should have a baseball game on the South Lawn with a bunch of people exact same age as him and just play that out in front of people to show show that, you know, 81-year-olds aren't over the hill or something like that, you know. And and statistically, that it's there's only a 13% chance somebody that age would die in a four-year period.
Right.
So.
Right.
So he's 87% chance gonna survive right through
well,
it. So
yeah, let me back up what you're saying. That you raise an interesting point. Let me back up what you're saying. First of all, Joe Biden is incredibly fit. He was an athlete in high school. He was a star athlete, football player, and all that. And he's very, very fit. Secondly, and I'm going to say something that nobody will believe, but think about it. Each year, your life expectancy goes up. Each year, your life expectancy goes up because you've already made it to whatever you are, and you go into the next one. And Bob is exactly right that actuarially, once you turn 80, and he will turn 80 in December. By the way, he's only 3.5 years older than Trump. I mean, Trump is no spring chicken. Trump is not in good shape. Trump is also crazy. He's crooked, but he's also crazy. And you can't tolerate another Trump administration with 4 years of crazy and crooked, and he's losing his marbles. Biden's not losing his marbles. He stuttered as a kid. He mastered it perfectly. So whether it's baseball, football, whatever it is, Joe Biden's in great shape. He really is in great shape. And right now, I mean, he's in much better shape than Trump. He's much more on the ball than Trump. And Trump is flat out crazy. Thank you very much, Bob. Chris of Sun Prairie, my friend. Thank you for calling us your mind today, Chris.
Hi. Well, I heard you talking about the Medicaid system, and I just thought it would be important to point out, I worked for EDS, Electronic Data Systems, back when they were the fiscal agent for the state of Wisconsin's Medicaid system. And I was an information analyst, and when we used to win contracts from the federal government, when we got money sent to us from the federal government, we all celebrated, whether we were Republican, Democrat, Independent. Everybody celebrated. That was a win for the state. It was a win for the programs where people could get the benefits. It was a win for the state because it created jobs in the state. It was a win for the state because we had innovative programs that were developed. The Wisconsin Immunization Registry was developed from that program, and the Immunization Registry is now being used in states all across the country. You know, so there are a lot of really great things that can come out of the money that comes back from the federal government. And also what you mentioned of us having to take that money out of state funds, that is money that's coming back from the federal government that we paid. So that's our money that Scott Walker turned away. Somebody else got that money. We just didn't get it. So I think people really need to be aware of that. And if I can weigh in on the second thing about age, I don't really think age is the issue here. I really think that we have a corruption problem here. Trump was corrupt, and he needs to go. And I think that President Biden should not really have to run on that. He should run on the fact that he's got the Build Back Better. He needs to be pointing out what he's done in this country, because I really don't think that's getting down to the working people. And I really think that that needs to be pushed a whole lot more from the people that I've been talking to. And I'm trying to talk to people on the other side. They need to understand where those funds are coming from. And I think that would be very helpful, that people need to understand that Build Back Better is what is building things in this country right now.
That is a splendid call, Chris. That really is a splendid call. You just gave a synopsis of, I think, the truth of what the issue is here. Thank you for calling. And get back to the Medicaid question again, and you have expertise because you worked with one of the vendors to the provider, to the recipient of the money. Scott Walker turned down $1 billion. That happened in about more than seven MAGA red states. And all the governors said, we're not taking that kind of money because we're self-sufficient. Now, they're all lying. What it was the people that get Medicaid, they were afraid wouldn't vote for them. So they basically hurt poor people. What Scott Walker did, because he knew he couldn't get away with it totally in Wisconsin, he said, okay, I'm turning it down. we're going to pay off the national debt. He didn't pay off the national debt with it. That money went to California, Minnesota, and they said, oh, my God, well, this is a windfall. But then he turned around and billed the state of Wisconsin taxpayers, you and me, for much of that. And so what was the purpose of that? Do you understand something? A lot of states, we get about the least federal money of any state in the union. The coastal states have Navy bases. They have space centers. You have the IRS in Ohio, you know, that kind of thing. What do we have? We get nothing. Now, we're self-sufficient, we're proud, but here, like every state, we were going to get proportionate to our population money to fund Medicaid. And this Republican governor turned it down. But he billed you again. So you paid the federal tax that then went on to Minnesota or California, and you paid it again. He turned down $50 million, I should say, in broadband for rural areas in the North. Everybody says the North needs broadband. I say it. Biden finally pushed it through. But before Biden, you know, if you're in a small business up there and you don't have reliable internet, some cases you don't even have reliable cell phone service. And what's that all about? Why'd he turn that down, $50 million? He turned it down because he said, I'm a conservative. He's running for he ran for president in 2016, and he looked very strong in the polls for about a week till they got a good look at him. They got a good look at him in the debates, and he looked like the groom on the wedding cake, a plastic figure, and he dropped out. But he spent a lot of money, and all of what he did that hurt Wisconsin was to try to make him look like his idea of a, quote, conservative, end quote, so he could get Southern delegates. That's what it was. That is flat out what it was. And DeSantis is doing it now. Biden called him. He said, you got to take some disaster relief. And DeSantis said, well, yeah, if you insist. But I'm not taking any of that climate change money from the from soft infrastructure. No, sir. $300 million. I'm not taking that. These guys aren't conservatives. These guys aren't Americans. Go to the lines in order. Do not hang up. Wisco Paul, my friend, you're next. What's your mind, Wisco Paul?
Thanks for your show. Thanks for taking my call. The first thing, you said it a long time ago, the Republicans can't handle money, and that's so true. There's a whole list of things. The train money, as far as that goes, we're paying from the Milwaukee to Chicago corridor, and that a lot of that would have been paid for if we'd taken the train money. So you're paying that again. Of course, there's the Medicaid money, and the list goes on and on. And then that's even compounded with boss hiring people like Gableman, and now the Republicans are going to use lawyers to fight gerrymandering. This all adds up to the taxpayer, and it's in the millions and millions of dollars, Matt. And I just wanted to mention one thing about religious folks. I love them. I go to church myself. But a lot of them are one-issue voters, abortion, and you can't talk to them. That doesn't make them bad people, but that's just the way it is. So you hit the nail on the head, as you'd say, Republicans cannot handle money. Thanks, Ben.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Paul. Before we go to the next, I just want to say, you know, on the issues and the money, that's exactly right. On the religious thing, I just want to say to everybody, we believe in the separation of church and state. I have enormous respect for people of all religious faiths. I don't question their motivations for doing anything. They're all good people. And that issue of separation of church and state, of having no established religion, this was passed by our founding fathers in the First Amendment. It is the most significant insight in political philosophy in the history of America, in the history of mankind, in the history of the world. It is the one thing that separates us from a lot of other countries. So just so we're clear, I see no correlation. I speak of no correlation between religion and political issues. People are all over the lot. But I appreciate your call, Paul. We're going further to the lines. Do not hang up. I'll take you in order. Jake of Milwaukee, my friend, you're next. What's your mind today, Jake?
This is always my slogan for voting Republican, at least the last, 3 years maybe, is that if you want to be poor, you want to be less healthy, you want to be more uneducated, vote Republican. Because that is exactly what you're going to get. because they no longer have common sense or use science or do any of this stuff or have any, you know, like personal morals or any of that stuff anymore. It's all gone. And so I just, you know, I just think that, you know, everyone should keep that in mind. And the single issue voters for abortion, you know, like how many people die from air pollution, right? It's like the worst thing in that kills most people on the planet and our country. So you guys, who you're anti-abortion people, you actually support people who kill more people, I mean, maybe inadvertently, than you actually save. So.
Yeah. No, Jake, thanks for calling in. As in regard to the first part of your call, there was a great saying we always used to use. If you want to live like a Republican, vote for a Democrat. But on the other stuff, to be very honest with you, I do not see or speak of a correlation between religion and any political issue. Religion is separate. Under the First Amendment, separation of church and state, no established religion. I have no criticism of any religion, none whatsoever. I have great respect for all people who worship, and we talk about issues only. Mark from the SAC, my friend, you're next. What's in your mind today, Mark?
Yeah, it's interesting. I see today that Clarence Thomas now plans on disclosing all the gifts he gets from all his rich buddies. And my point would make, and he's not honest like George Bailey's guardian angel. That was another Clarence. But Clarence Thomas, if he wants to be completely honest, maybe he should pay for his trips himself. Maybe he should pay for all his little vacations himself, rather than benefiting the way that hardly any other American actually does by having a rich friend that pays for all his expenses and all his costs and all his little, you know, luxurious vacations and tuition for, you know, his adopted, you know, quote unquote adopted son and who knows however much money has been stuffed into his garter belt over the years
Mark, thanks for calling. I always appreciate your calls. Karina of Milwaukee, my friend, you're next. What's your mind today, Karina?
Hi. You know, I don't really agree with some of the callers saying, well, it is what it is, and this is just people who they are. No, this is not. They're working for a self-centered goals, whether it goes personally, that you want to raise your statue in the eyes of whoever for a future political advances, or you're doing it for your party because you want people to be so distracted with everyday problem that they don't come watch you debate like a swore of hyenas, or they don't know what you're doing, or they don't hear long time ago because the only thing they're thinking about is the surviving, what they're going to put on their table, how they're going to put for a rent. And
right.
all of it is very critical. And if you're going to look into actually a statistics, and it's easy to see for with a Title 19, because you have to be qualified for a Title 19 and the base.
No, you're right, Karina. Thank you. Yeah, we have to go to a break. That's right. I mean, these people who are on food stamps or on Medicaid, they're human beings, and they should be provided that. That separates us from a lot of societies. Thank you for calling. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
The ring of fire, the ring of fire, and it burns, burns, burns. The ring of fire, the ring of fire, the ring of fire, the ring of fire.
Experience the magic. Joy Engine presents Nightlight, Friday and Saturday, September 8th and 9th, from 5 until 10:30 p.m. The dazzling live spectacle brings 4D projection mapping technology to Milwaukee's iconic historic Mitchell neighborhood. A multi-story building at 710 West Historic Mitchell Street will serve as the mesmerizing backdrop for the show. Nightlight will feature a fashion show, a variety of local vendors, dance performances, and music. After sundown, the event will set the grounds alight with an amazing motion graphic show. Families with children will have plenty of options to indulge in memory-making activities
activities throughout the festival's run, including a life-size light bright wall and a hands-on multilingual exhibit presented by PNC Bank. The event is family-friendly and free to the public. Don't miss this iconic event, Nightlight, presented by Joy Engine, where art comes to life. Log on joyengine.org. That's joyengine.org.
Hey, this is Lindsay Kindert at 540 WAUK The Shaw. At Civic Media, we love our local communities and want to share your stories. Submit your local event and we'll let our listeners know. Email me, Lindsay Kindert, at info@civicmedia.us. That's info@civicmedia.us.
It's never personal, only politics. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show with Dom and Crute. Weekdays from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw.
Lows level off around 52 tonight. Under clear skies, southeast winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. Sunny skies and calm tomorrow. Daytime highs approaching 83. Clear skies and quiet again tomorrow night. Lows level off around 60. Dry with temperatures well above average Saturday and Sunday, and highs from the upper 80s to the mid 90s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 73 degrees.
Whether you're heading down Les Paul Parkway or fighting traffic on the interstates, this is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. I want a quick talk about the 3rd Congressional District. There was a big announcement today. Two very fine Democrats who were candidates for that seat in the past have announced that they will not run again this time. There is a candidate, Rebecca Cook, that I've been quite impressed with, quite frankly. I think she's aggressive in a good way, kind of snappy and quick, very, very good, very, very good candidate. And I'll tell you what, there are several other candidates who are good Democrats who keep saying, we'll think of it and we're going to keep it open and all that. The truth of the matter is, the time is getting late. And not only that, some of them who are incumbents can't really make a decision until the maps are decided for 2024 and where they're going to be. And quite frankly, you can't wait that late. And the other one, very likely won't run. I think it's time to get behind Rebecca Cook. Van Orden is vulnerable. Van Orden is a strange guy. He's the guy who carried a loaded gun into a Iowa airport. He knew that was against the law. You know, the rules don't apply to him. He was leading a beer tour, I think he called it, of the Capitol, and he saw some interns who were in high school. These are teenagers lying down on the floor taking pictures of the dome. That's what you do when you take a picture of a dome. And he cursed them. He used the F word. He used the S word. And I was thinking of the man who shot Liberty Valance. And, you know, it'd be something like when Derek Van Orden came to town, the women all would hide. When Derek Van Orden came to town, the men would step aside. Because the point of a gun is the only law Van Orden understood. When it came to cursing little kids, he was mighty good. I'm not much of a singer. In fact, I'm virtually tone deaf. But, you know, the point is the guy's got to go. The guy's a hairball clogging the drain. I think Rebecca Cook would be a good candidate. So I don't live over there. A lot of friends over there. My nephew went to UW La Crosse. A lot of buddies over there. But the fact of the matter is that something's got to be done. Get this character out there. He's a hairball clogging the drain. Put in Rebecca Cook. Now, I want to tell you, we got a tip. And I like this when we get tips from callers. And this was by email or text. And it's really an atrocity that's happening down in North Carolina. There is a Supreme Court justice down there named Justice Earls, E-A-R-L-S, Anita Earls. She's the only black woman on the North Carolina Supreme Court. And this is unbelievable. And what she did was she spoke out publicly and she said, you know, we've got to improve things down here in North Carolina in the judicial system. She said about 80% of the lawyers that argue before a court are white, and 70% of them are male. And that's fine. I'm not into identity politics. But she said when an African-American lawyer or a female lawyer argues, they are interrupted. They're given much less respect by the court than other lawyers are. And she said, even I'm a justice on the Supreme Court, a black woman, and I'm interrupted by junior colleagues and even by lawyers. They interrupt her. Now, this is a fairly benign statement of hers. I mean, she said it in good faith, and, you know, let's just kind of change our attitude here. I thought it was very, very, very done. Well done. And but here's the deal. Let me tell you something. I've tried cases for a long time. I've had a number of oral arguments in the Wisconsin Supreme Court and in the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals in Chicago, and frankly, in the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals. And I've appeared in court in Fresno, California, and a lot of other places. I got to tell you something. If you're a lawyer, you don't interrupt the Supreme Court justice. They say their mind. They ask you the question. It may be a dumb question in your mind. It may ignore some facts. You sit there and show respect. And then when the justice is done, you might say something, Your Honor, with all respect, you said that such and such. But in Mr. Jones's testimony in the record, he said it differently. And Your Honor, I think that the way you put it is not in the record. That's the kind of thing you do. You don't interrupt her. So she didn't discipline anybody. She just comes out and says this. Believe it or not, the North Carolina Supreme Court has not started an investigation of her before their Judicial Standards Commission. And the thing is, in North Carolina, under their law, you can't just start an investigation. There has to be a serious allegation and facts to support some sort of misconduct. So she said, what is the misconduct? I just said flat out, what is true? What is factually true? And they sort of chuckle and they go, well, you know, we'll find that out. We'll find that out. She sues. She's right now a plaintiff in federal court to stop them from doing that. Now, let's get down in the weeds on a little bit of procedure here. It's true that on many things, federal courts take preeminence. But federal courts really don't like to try to show their power over state courts. It's just not right. And there's a lot of authority that says they shouldn't do it. It is true that the U.S. Supreme Court, which is a federal court, is the avenue where all appeals can end up, state and federal, yes. But you don't normally, and you shouldn't, have federal courts going in and shutting down state proceedings. I personally think, just analytically looking at this, that a federal court is very unlikely. I think it would be wrong for them to say a state Supreme Court can't, you know, apply its laws and its investigations. And if they're wrong and if they're discriminatory, then you appeal that on up to the U.S. Supreme Court. But I support her 100%. I think it is outrageous, outrageous that a state Supreme Court, and this was generated by their Chief Justice, who's a real piece of work. He's a real piece of work, who says, look, I'm telling you what the conduct is. There are apparently no black law clerks for this term. I don't know if that's true, but that was what was alleged. There are very, very few female and African-American lawyers that appear before us relative to everybody else. And again, I'm not into identity politics. I frequently rail against the identity politics cult that's taking over our party. But that is a legitimate thing for her to say. She has a First Amendment right to say it. She's a Supreme Court justice. She has a good reputation. And the response should have been, well, thank you for bringing that to our attention. We're going to look into it. We're going to look into the causes. But no, what do? They investigate her for misconduct under their Judicial Standards Commission. That's retaliatory. That's wrong. Very, very wrong. I'm very grateful to our caller who, we don't use last names, Mary. Thank you very much for sending that story in. And I think we got to pay attention to that. This kind of thing is bubbling up all around the country now. It's bubbling up in Florida and a lot of other places. And we got to put a stop to it. And one way to put a stop to it is reelect Joe Biden. Don't let Trump in there. Okay, we're coming to the end of the show. Great show as always. Great callers. Matt Flynn, direct. We're back. Not same time. I'm going to be doing Devil's Advocate tomorrow from 4 to 6. And I'm signing off for today. Like a rolling stone.
Wisconsin traditions have been built for years around the Badgers, game day, and the mascot. But lead miners are the original Badgers in the state, not the animal or the mascot. It was the 1820s, and the miners often didn't have shelter in the winters, so they lived like Badgers by digging tunnels into the hillsides to stay warm and sleep where they worked. It led to the reason why today you really can't think of Wisconsin without thinking Badgers. For Civic Media, I'm Terry Barr. Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
You're listening to The Shaw. WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.